detailed daf today, Bezal Hashem. Okay, Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf 75, daf Ayin Hey. We left off at Ayin Dalet Amud Bet in the middle of the page. Today's class should be for the Refuah, Shalom HaVadachonim, Vichladam, Chemda, Baruch HaMachan Dujan, Elamen Chanukam, Rifka, Sarab HaNuminim, Shalom HaMisara, David, Merchel, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Shalom HaMisara, Fahim, Elamen Chanukam, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Bezal, Rifka, Bezal, בנימין בן יצחק, ליאל דינה בת אברהם, שמעון בן שמעון בן נדן, ואז בן אברהם דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם, משה בן רפאל יוסף, שרה בת יוסף, ולהבדיל הרעיון דבורה בת מרים. We left off in the middle of the page on Ayin Dalet Amud Bet 74b. We are about to discuss the machloket. Where are we referencing to this machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar with regards to does a man mind if his wife gets disgraced in the Beit Din if she goes to annul the vows that she has? Or the man does not mind for his wife to get disgraced. So that was the machloket. So the Gemara says, Maihi, where are we referencing to? So this is actually a Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Ditnan, Hamotziet ishto mishum neder. Someone divorces his wife because of a neder that she had, lo yachzir, he would not be allowed to remarry her. Mishum shemra, or if he had, let's say he brought out a bad name on her, saying she was not a virgin, lo yachzir, he should not remarry her. Why? Rashi explains a few reasons that are given over there in Masachet Gitin, where this Mishnah is brought. But the simple understanding, one of the reasons Rashi brings is that if he finds out that he would have been able to annul her vow, then he'll come and say, I didn't want to divorce her to begin with, and my divorce doesn't count. And then she went and remarried someone. Now you call us a whole balagan. So for that reason, he says, if you're going to divorce her for those reasons, you don't get a chance to remarry her. We're letting you know from now, so you don't play these games. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol neder she'adu bo rabim lo yachzir." If it was a neder that everybody knew about, the public knew about, then you don't remarry. We're going to understand what the public is, but Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is because once many people know, then it becomes like Rashi says, "Lo yuprutzot benedarim," that they're going to become like very paruts and nedarim. They're going to just start making vows all the time, and they're not going to be more careful with what they say. Lo yadu bo rabim, but if the public does not know about the vow, yachzir, he's allowed to remarry the woman. Rabbi Meir says, "Kol neder shetzarich hakirat chacham lo yachzir." Any neder that requires an investigation of the chacham, meaning it is a neder that the husband cannot annul himself. For example, it's not one of the neders that we said between a husband and the wife, or a neder that has to do with inui nefesh, with suffering of the person, so that he can annul it. It's something that he cannot annul. So those vows, he's not allowed to remarry if he divorces her for. But if it's a vow that he does not need the investigation of a chacham, for example, it is a vow that he could have annulled himself, then over there we would say yachzir, that he is allowed to remarry her if he would like. Rashi says, Yachzir debehai gavna lo matzei lekalkela shehaya lo lofer v'lo hefer. Says in this case we don't find a way that he would have he's going to mess up her relation afterwards, because he could have annulled the vow and he didn't. So we're allowing him to remarry. That's Rabbi Meir, right? So then comes Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, Amar Rabbi Elazar lo aserut tzarich elu mimnei she'enot tzarich. They only made a decree, they only forbade the case of tzarich hakirat chacham, where you need the investigation of a chacham because the husband cannot annul it. They only forbade that case because of the case she'eino tzarich, of the case of that you don't need the hakirat chacham. Meaning he's saying that the case of eino tzarich, he could have made annulled her vow and he didn't. So now what he's going to come and say? After she remarries with somebody else, he's going to come and say, if I knew I could have annulled the vow, I wouldn't have divorced her. This is not real. And then it's going to start a whole balagan in her relationship with her husband. So therefore, he's saying that no, really the stricter case is the one of lo tzarich, even if you did not need a chakirat chacham. The Gemara then says, "My tamad Rabbi Yehuda." And we're going to come back to the machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, but the side topic, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you take a neder in public, you cannot annul that neder? So he says, "Dichtiv," flipping the amud, as the pasuk says, "Velohikum b'nei Yisrael kinishbu lahaim nisei ha'eda." They did not hit the givonim because they, the leaders of the Jewish people, had sworn to them. So the Gemara says, this is referring to taking this necessarily, let's say, taking a vow, but he learns from here that if you take an oath in public, you can't annul that oath because this was done in public. So the Gemara says, "Vekama rabim." What's considered public? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Shelosha, three people. Yamim Shnaim, days is two. Rabim and public and plural for that would be three. Right in the pasuk, it says days is two and rabim is three. So that would make it three. Shelosha. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asara. No, you need 10. Edaktiv behu. In the pasuk, it says Eda, congregation. We also know by the Meraglim, it also says Eda. And we know that we learn out, how do we know you need 10 for a minyan? We learn out by the Meraglim. The Meraglim, there were two good spies, Yehoshua and Kalev. The rest of them were bad. The Torah says Eda, it calls in the congregation. Why are they called the congregation? It's teaching us that you need 10 people to be called the congregation, to be called the public, you need 10 people. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir says, Kol neder shetzarich hakirat chacham lo yachzir. Any neder that you cannot annul yourself, you need a chacham, so then you cannot remarry her if you divorce her for that reason. Rabbi Elazar says, Lo aseru tzarich, ala mipenei she'eino tzarich. They only forbade the case of needing the chacham to annul your neder because of the case of not needing the chacham. He could have annulled it himself. So the Gemara says, B'mai kamifligi, what are they arguing on? Rabbi Meir says, Adam rotzeh shetitbazeh ishto bebeidin. A man is okay that his wife gets disgraced in the Beit Din, but she's allowed to go and annul her vows. So that's why he says you're allowed to remarry her even if the husband was able to annul the vow. Right? We want her to go and annul her vows. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, Ein adam rotzeh shetitbazeh ishto bebeidin. A man is not okay with his wife getting disgraced in the Beit Din. So therefore he says that no, don't remarry her, because a man is not okay with his wife getting embarrassed in the Beit Din with annulling her vows. Rava comes and says, right, so Rashi says, what is Rava going on? We said in the previous daf that we said there's two cases. There was one where the man went to the Chacham and annulled the vow. The woman went to the Chacham to annul her vow, and she went to the doctor to annul her blemish. So we said in one case, we said that by the Chacham, it's annulling the vow. By the doctor, it's not annul, it's not cleaning, you're not mekudeshet. Then we had another Braita that said, no. But in both cases, it's not considered mekudeshet. Whether she went and annulled her vow or she went to the doctor and cleaned her blemish, neither of them work. So Rava comes to answer that contradiction. Rava Amar, hacha beisha chashuva askinen. Over here, we're dealing, that which we said that you're not mekudeshet, we're dealing with an important woman. The Amar, he says, lo nichali de itzar bekrivote. I'm not okay with becoming asur to her relatives, so therefore I don't even want the kiddushin to happen to begin with. So therefore, that's why in that case, if she goes and annuls the vow after they got erusin, that's not considered mekudeshet. Okay, the Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, Seifa, in the latter baraita, the katane that it taught, aval, hu shahalach etzel chacham, if he goes to a chacham, vihitiro, and the chacham annuls his vow, etzel rofer, he goes to the doctor, viripauto, and he heals him, right? In the other case, if the man is the one who's, has these things on him, mekudeshet, they are considered married or betrothed. So the Gemara says, litni, eina mekudeshet, why don't you say they're not betrothed? Velema hachabad am chashuv askinan. And over here we're talking about an important person. De amra lo nichali de itzar rekreve. It's not okay. I'm not okay with becoming asur to his relatives. Maybe that's explanation. And really, she would not be mekudeshet to him. Why don't we say the same case for the man, that they're not considered betrothed? What's the difference between the woman and the man? So the Gemara says, ihi bekoldehu nichala. For her, she's okay with being married in any situation. In any situation, she's okay with being married. Whereas, how do we know that? There's an opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish comes and says, wait 1 second. Okay. So, Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish says, Damar Reish Lakish, Tav lemetav tan du, min lemetav armelu. A woman is better for her to sit with another person than to be alone, than to be a widow. Meaning, she's okay with being a very low type of person, but as long as she's with somebody else, she's with the husband, she's okay with it versus being alone. So she is okay with it even if he has a blemish at the end of the day. Whereas he is not the same, right? By him, it's not the same thing. By him, he's not okay with her having a blemish. He took that stipulation on purpose. So now the Gemara is going to bring a couple different phrases. We saw these in the end of Masachet Yevamot that refer to this woman being okay with having, even a low type of man. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Deshum shamna gavra kursek becharata ramila. Says, even if the man is like an ant, meaning he's a very simpleton, still he's going to place my seat amongst like the officials, amongst the greatest women. So therefore, the man is going to do great things for the woman and place her amongst the officials. Okay. The Gemara, so that's one phrase. Meaning, even though she has a low type of husband, she's okay with it. Rav Papa Amar, de nafsa gavra, tikraya b'sife bava v'teitiv. Even if he has a low type of work, he's like a menafes tzemer, he deals with wool and stuff like that, it's not such a beautiful type of a job, still she's going to call him to the front of the house to sit with her, so that people see that she's married. She's okay with having a bad working type of husband, he doesn't have such a great job, but she's married at the end of the day. Rav Ashi Amar, de kalsa gavra, lo ba'e tal feche lekidra. If let's say the husband comes from a Rashi says mimishpacha dofi, right? She's okay with him, even though he's not, you know, such a great from a great family. He has a bad lineage, for example. She's okay with him being married to her, right? She doesn't even want his lentils. She doesn't want him even to bring him her lentils. Why? I don't want your food. I don't want anything. I just want your name. I just want your last name. That's all I want. So she's okay with being married to him just so that she can have another partner in life. And the Gemara then says, Tana vekulan mislanot vetolot bebalehen. All of these women, they go and sleep around with other men, and then they say, the child is from my husband. They don't love their husband, but they want to be married to someone, so they take their husbands as the using them, and then they go with other men. Then we get to the second part. The second part talks about the blemishes of the women. Kol mumin sheposlin. All of the blemishes that we said are pasul by the Kohanim are pasul by the women. Tana, vehosifu alehen ze'ah veshuma ve'recha peh. They added on to them if a woman is sweating or she has a mole or bad smell, mouth smell, then those cases are also pasul by the woman, but we understand they don't make a Kohen pasul. So the Gemara says, vehane ve'kohane lo pasleh. What, a Kohen does not become pasul from any of these? Vehatanan, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, right, remember where we learned out all of the laws for the Kohanim where they become Tameh? It's in Bechorot. So the Mishnah in Bechorot says, Hazaken, Vachole, Vamezuam. It says that an elder, a sick person, or Mezuam, someone it sounds like is smelly, Utnan, and it taught in the Mishnah, Mumin Elu, Bein Kvuin, Bein Ovrin, Pesulin, Ba'adam. Whether these blemishes are permanent or temporary, they makes the man Pasul. So what do you see? It sounds like bad smell does make the man Pasul. Amar Biyosi Bar Chanina, Lakashia, it's not difficult. Kan bezeah overet, kan bezeah sheina overet. It depends if it's sweat that you can wipe and it goes away, or it's sweat that's continuously coming. It's a constant sweating. Right? So if it's a constant sweating, then yeah, you're right, it could be pasul. It could make the Kohen even pasul. But, over here it's talking about, in the case of the woman, it's talking about a type of sweating that's constant. Whereas by the Kohen, it could be talking about just a little sweat, and that's not, that's Irashi. Rashi says, so Rashi says these three were talking about blemishes of an animal, and we think that ze'ah and mezuham are talking about the same thing. So the first opinion is saying that ze'ah, the way you can answer the contradiction is one is talking about lots of sweat, that it doesn't go away easily, and one is talking about not such great amounts of sweat. So that would be the difference. So if it's in the Mishnah in Bechorot that we said makes even the Kohanim pasul, or it makes the animals pasul, which make the Kohanim pasul as well, is referring to sweat that's not temporary. It's like someone's a constant sweater. So someone like that, then you're right. It could be that he's always smelling. He couldn't be kosher for Kohen's work, for the Kohen Avodah. The Gemara gives another answer. Rav Ashi Amar, Ze'a Amezuham Karamit. Are you comparing sweat and bad smell? They're two different things. Hatam Gabe Kohanim. By the Kohanim, if Sharla Avra Bekiwa de Chamra, you can get the smell out by using some type of wine vinegar, a good smell, you can get that bad smell out. Whereas, and Umreach Peh, Nami, also from a bad mouth, a bad smelling mouth, if Shar de Nakat Pil Pelah Bepumeh, Ve'avid Avodah, maybe the guy will put a pepper in his mouth, and it'll take away the bad smell. But Hacha Aval Gabe Ishava, by a woman, Lo Efshar, those things are not possible. By a Kohen, he's not always talking to people, so you can do these little remedies that can help him. By a woman who's always talking to her husband, so there's no way, she has to be doing this every second for her to get away with it, and that's not possible. Now we go back to the mole. Hai shuma hechidamya. What's the case of this mole? Id de id basear. If it's a mole with hair, hacha v'hacha pasla, both by the woman and by the kohanim, it's pasul. Id de lo id basear. If there's no hair, it depends. Id shuma gedula. If it's a big mole, he hacha v'hacha pasla, it's pasul in both cases. If it's a small mole, then Ishma Katanahi, Hacha v'Hacha lo pasla. In both cases, it's not pasul. So what is it? How do you find the case that it's pasul by the woman, but not by the Kohen? The Tanya, as the Baraita says, Shuma sheyesh bas se'ar, if you have a mole with hair, hareze mum, that's a blemish. En bas se'ar, if there's no hair, if it's gedola, if it's a big one, hareze mum, that's a blemish. Ketana, if it's small mum, small mole, en ze mum, that's not a blemish. So the Gemara says, ve'ezohi gedola, what's considered a big mole? If you think that the daf is getting a little bit in detail now, just wait. Peresh Rashbag. Rashbag says, ad ki isar ha'italki. The size of this isar, this coin, italki coin, that size would be considered a big mole. It's a pretty big mole, right? So that would be a blemish. So Amar Biyosi Berachanina, how can we explain this contradiction? Meaning, how is it pasul by the woman and not by the Kohen? Be'omedet al padachta. It's sitting on her forehead. So even though it's a small mole, the husband is not okay with that. He doesn't like that type of mole, and so therefore he would not have wanted to. It's a blemish, and he's not have to stay married to her. So the Gemara says, "Padachta, forehead, ra'av v'nifayesu." The husband saw the mole on her forehead before they got married, and he was okay with it. So why does he get to get out of the marriage? So the Gemara says, "Amar papa be'omedet la tachat kippa." It's sitting under her head covering, her hat. The Gemara says, "Shel rosha," of her head. Sometimes you see it. Sometimes it's covered and you don't see it. So when the husband sees it for the first time, and he says, "Hey, what is this? This is a blemish, and I don't want to be married to you." So Amar al Chista, Ha Milta, this matter. I heard this from a great man. Umanu, and who was that? Rabbi Shila. His name was Rabbi Shila. He says, Nashka kelev v'nasa mekomot saleket. Dog bites, and if a dog bites the woman and makes a mark and makes a scar, hare zemum, that's a blemish. Amar Rechista, kol aveh, you know, a deep voice, if she has a deep voice, be'isha, harizem mum, that's a blemish. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, I think it's in Shir HaShirim, ki kolech arev umarech na'aveh, right? It says your voice is very smooth, very beautiful, and your beauty is very also very beautiful, meaning the voice has to be a nice tone of voice for a woman for it to be beautiful. If it's a deep voice, that's a blemish in a woman, and the man can get out of the marriage like that. Okay, now we're getting a little bit more detailed. Tani Rabbi Natan Bira taught, Bein dadei isha tefach, between the breasts of a woman is a tefach. So the Gemara says, Savar Rav Acha Berei Derava Kamei Deravashi. He thought to say, Lameimar, tefach l'maliuta. If there's a tefach between the breasts, that's a good thing. Amar le Ravashi, no, Gabei Mumin Tanya. This was taught amongst blemishes. So if there's a tefach, that's a blemish. That's not a good thing. Or a tefach is a fist. So there's a fist in between the breasts, that's not a good thing. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vikama, and how big, how much does it have to be beautiful? Meaning, how big is the gap? Amar Abayesh, Shalosh Etzba'ot, three finger breadths. If it's three fingers, that's a good thing. Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Rabbi Natan says, Kol Isha Shedadea Gasin Mishel Chavrotea, Hare Zemum. Any woman who has breasts that are larger than that of other women is considered a blemish. Vikama, and how big is that? How much bigger? Amar Av Miyasha, Bereid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he was the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mishmeid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he said this in the name of his grandfather. Tefach, if it's a tefach, if it's this much bigger than other women, that's considered a blemish. Okay? Umi ika ki agavna, is there even a woman who has such large parts? It's like when I answer is, in, yes there is. Da amar rababa rachana, amar bi yochan. Amar rababa rachana says, Ani ra'iti, I saw Araviya achat, an Arab woman, she threw her breasts behind her and she fed her baby like that. So I guess it was some type of diseased woman. Okay, continuing. Utzion yamar ish veish yulad ba. And Tzion, it was born for this woman. This man and this man were born to her from Tzion. V'hu yechonenea elyon. And they will be established by the greatest. So, over here, it's going to say something in the name of Rabbi Miyasha, who is the grandson of Rabbi Shimon Levi, again, because we just brought something in his name. Amar Rabbi Miyasha, Barbarei de Rabbi Shimon Levi, Echad ha-nulad ba, Echad ha-metzapeh lirota, one who is born in Israel, and one who is yearning to see in its good times, is of this type of greatness. So Amar Abaye, V'chad minayu adif ketrei minan, one person from Israel is great as two of our people, from Chutz La'aretz. Amar Rava, and Rava said, "V'chad minan ki salik le'atem." If we have a guy from America, from Chutz La'aretz or outside of Israel, who went up to Israel, adif ketrei minayu, is better, is as good as two of the people in Israel. Meaning, when we go from here to there, we get such a great ma'ala that we become like two of them. How do we know this? The Gemara says, "Dahar Rabbi Yirmiyah, ki hava hacha, dechi hava hacha." When he was in outside of Israel, lo hava yada maika amir rabbanan. He would not understand what the rabbis were saying. Ki salik latam. But when he went there to Eretz Yisrael, karilan, he would call us bavlei tipshay, you stupid Babylonians. Meaning, it wasn't the other rabbis who lived in Israel that would call us that. It was him himself. He moved from Babel to Israel, and he became so great he would call us stupid that he became such a chacham. Meaning to say that he was higher than even the as great as two of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, new Mishnah. Hayuba Mumin, if she had blemishes, ve'odah beveit avian, she's still in her father's house and she received Erusin, ha'av tzarech lavir aya, the father has to bring a proof, shemishinita arsa hayuba mumin halalu. That once she, meaning from when she had gotten betrothed, only then these blemishes came, ve'nistachafa sadeh, when the husband loses out, because it happened afterwards. Nichnasan Rishut Habal, if she went in the home of the husband, Habal tzarech lavi ra'aya, the husband has to bring a proof, sha'ad shelo nit'arsa hayuba mumin elu, that until they got engaged, the husband has to bring a proof she got these blemishes, and therefore, vaya mekacho mekach ta'ut, divrei Rabbi Meir, that his marriage with her was only beta'ut. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim say, v'medvarim amurim, when do we say the husband can make any ta'ana, can make any reasoning on the blemishes? Blemishes that are on private parts, meaning not parts of the body that are revealed that he would have seen before. Aval, flipping the amud, blemishes that are in public parts of her body, he cannot say anything because for sure if he married her, he accepted them. Here, if there's a bathhouse in that city, he cannot even say anything about the blemishes in private parts, not on the revealed parts. We learned this earlier. We know that before they would get married, he would have the relatives check her body to make sure that she had no blemishes. So he for sure knows about the blemishes beforehand, and he cannot say anything. Gemara. We're now talking about who brings the proof. So ta'ama de maiti ha'av. The reason that we're saying all this is because the father brings the proof. The maiti ha'av ra'aya. So what can we infer from that? Ha lo maiti ha'av ra'aya. If the father did not bring a proof, then what would we say? Habal meheman. The husband is believed. Mani, who is the author here? Rabbi Yeshua, it must be the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar, that he said, we learned this in the first perek. We had a machloka between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua says, we do not believe the woman. Rabban Gamliel says, we do believe the woman. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is, the Amar, lo mipia anu chayin. We don't live from her mouth, we don't believe her. So the first part of the Mishnah sounds like Rabbi Yeshua. So then the Gemara says, Eima Seifa, go to the latter part of the Mishnah. Nichnesa l'rishut habal, once she goes into the home of the husband, habal tzarech l'avi ra'ya, the husband has to bring the proof. So the reason for that, ta'ama de maiti abal, the reason is because the husband, maiti abal ra'ya, he's bringing a proof. We can infer from that, ha lo maiti abal ra'ya, if the husband does not bring a proof, ha'av meheman, the father is believed. So what does it sound like? Ata'an la Rabban Gamliel, this is going, the latter part of the Mishnah, is going like Rabban Gamliel, de amar ne'emenet, that he said, she is believed. So which one is it? The first part of the Mishnah said, like Rabbi Yeshua, she's not believed. Second part of the Mishnah said, no, like Rabban Gamliel, she is believed. Which one is it? Amar Rabbi Elazar, tabara. Yeah, you're right, this is a contradiction. Misha shanazo, lo shanazo. The first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah are taught by two different people. Amar Rava, Rava comes and says, lo tema, don't say that Rabbi Yeshua, lo azil batar chazaka de gufa klav. That Rabbi Yeshua does not care about a chazakah of the goof, right? This is a machloket essentially on which one is more important. A chazakah, a status of the body, or a status of money, monetary law. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying chazakah de mamona adif. The chazakah of mamon is greater. Whereas Rabban Gamliel is saying, no, the chazakah of the body is greater, and you're ma'amid the body on its chazakah that it had before. So he's saying, don't say that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of a chazakah of the goof at all. When does Rabbi Yeshua not follow chazakah of the goof, of the body? Whenever there's a status of the money is in the husband's hands, the ketubah is in the husband's hands, we keep the money in the husband's hands, we make the father have to bring a proof. Whereas, if there was only, but he says, aval hecha deleka chazakah de mamona, if there was no status of money, there was no chazakah of the mamon, then azil Rabbi Yeshua batar chazakah de gufa. Rabbi Yeshua would follow the chazakah of the body and say that we're ma'amid the chazakah on the guf, on the body, and say that she was like this, she became like this afterwards, she was okay before, she became like this afterwards, then it would be, depending on how we would look at it, but we're ma'amid the chazakah on the guf. Rashi says, Lo temer Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, afilu b'makom she'in chazkat mamon omedet negda l'achisha. When there's no chazakah of mamon, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that we follow the chazakah of the goof in this case. It's only whenever there's no chazakah, when there is a chazakah of mamon, that he would not follow the chazakah of the goof. So the Gemara then comes and says, how do we know? This detanya, as the Braita says, im baheret kodem le'se'ar lavan. If the person is getting tzarat, so first he gets the white spots, and then he gets the white hair. So if that's how it works, tamen, he becomes tamen. But im se'ar lavan, kodem le'baheret, if he gets the white hair first, and then the white spots, tahor, he is not tamen. Why? Because the pasuk says, se'ar lavan be'baheret, that's how it words in the pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara says, safek, if you have a doubt of which one came first, tameh, we would say he is tameh. Rabbi Yeshua says, keha, no, it is dull. So Gemara says, what's dull? So Gemara says, my keha, what do you mean by dull? Amar Rabba, keha tehor, what he meant to say by keha is tahor, she's pure. She's not tameh, she's pure. That's what he meant to say. So what do you see over here? Rabbi Yeshua is saying we stand the body on its chazakah, ha'amed guf al chazkato, ve'lot tam'enu misafek, and we don't make her tam'en. Why? You're in a safek. When you have a safek, you go back to the chazakah, because there's no chazakah of mamon over here. So we go back to the chazakah of the body. She was tehora to begin with. She is still tehora. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that when there's no chazakah of mamon, we go after the chazakah of the guf. The Gemara then comes to say just a few more lines. Rava amar Rava goes all the way back. Rava is going back on the contradiction that we had. We had the contradiction in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel. So we explained that it's two different authors. The Gemara now says, Rava Amar, Resha, it's really both Rabban Gamliel. Resha, kan nimtza'u v'kan hayu. In the beginning part of the Mishnah, that we said, we would have believed the husband, and therefore it goes like Rabbi Yeshua. He's saying, no, it goes like Rabban Gamliel. Kan nimtza'u v'kan hayu. We're going to explain this in Rashi. This is where they were found, the blemishes, and this is where they happened, this is where they were. In the Seifa as well, in the latter part of the Mishnah, Seifa, Nami, Kanim, Seuva, Kanayu. This is where they happened, and this is where they were found, and this is where they happened. So Rashi explains. Look at Rashi. Rava mehadar le'okma kulak Rabban Gamliel. Rava is saying, our whole Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, that we believe the woman. De okminan lehilchetak evatei beperek kama, we hold the halachas like him in the first chapter. Le'olam chazaka de gufa adif, the chazaka of the body is stronger. Ve'resha ta'ama, and the beginning of the Mishnah, why did we say, we inferred from there that we would believe the husband, not the father. Mishum de kevan de beit avia nimtzeu, since she was found to have these blemishes in the house of the father, hamumin, itra chazkate da'av. The father's chazakah becomes broken now. And then the ikal amemar kan hayu kodem erusin, and then therefore we would say that this is where the blemishes happened before erusin, and the husband is correct. And that's why in this case it's different, because you lose the chazakah. But in general, you would not. In general, there's a chazakah of the goof, and that would stand. And so too in the Seifa, in the latter part of the Mishnah, we would say the blemishes happen in the husband's home. She was in the husband's home. The blemishes happen over there, and therefore it is on the husband. And so therefore, in the latter case of the Mishnah, the chazakah stands, and we would say that really, that's where the blemishes were found. That's where they happened, and so therefore she is considered not to have these blemishes from before she became erusin. And she had these blemishes from before. And so, no. For the second case, we're saying kanim tzeu kanayu. It must be that that's where it was found, and that's where it happened. And so therefore, it must be that the blemishes only happened after the fact. After he had done erusin, and so therefore he cannot come and say that it is a mekach ta'ut, he has to stay married to her. Okay, we stopped there. We'll do 1 minute recap on the daf. We started on the Amud Bet. We started talking about the machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. If we say that a man is okay, noach lo la'adam, is okay. A man is okay with his wife getting disgraced in the Beit Din. Rabbi Meir said yes. Rabbi Elazar was of the opinion that no. Second part of the daf was the different blemishes we added on to the woman that do not take place by the Kohanim. Right, the mole, the bad smell, and so on and so forth. The third case was, who needs to bring a ra'ya? Who needs to bring a proof? So if it was in the father's house, then he has to bring the proof. If it was in the husband's house, then the husband has to bring a proof. And the fourth part was, what's stronger? Chazakah of the goof of the body, or chazakah of the mamon? It's machloket. Rabbi Yeshua says mamon. Rabban Gamliel says, no, chazakah de gufei adif. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.